Thank you, Rob. It's a download here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. It's time for Studio 435, our weekly segment featuring the best live music Chicago has to offer, right here in our All-State Showcase studio on beautiful Michigan Avenue, Monday night. Tonight, the band Iverson. They just released their latest EP, Pink, which came out this past summer. The synth pop sounds of Chicago's Iverson can be found on that EP. They got a new one that might be coming out soon. We'll talk about that. In studio tonight, Charles Iverson on vocals, Gene Knifick on keyboards, Alec Watson on keyboards, Ethan Parcell on drums, Luke Parcell on bass. Guys, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
There are so many keyboards in here. I love it. Let's talk about this music. I hear synth pop and I think 80s club, right? That's sort of the idea of what I think about. But listening to your music, it's much more, I don't know, it's much cleaner than I would assume synth pop to be. Where does that come from? The idea of naming you, what do you know about synth pop and what is that genre?
So, synth pop is a term that we use very loosely, and in a very utilitarian kind of way. So, Iverson is a synth pop band strictly because we have a lot of synthesizers, and the songs that we play are written to be accessible to wider audiences.
Yeah.
You know, in the sense of the songwriting itself. Beyond that, you know, synth pop is a way for us to name a genre, so it's easy. It's all about marketing. It's all about
I get it. But there is something when I listen to your music, listen to the EP today. It really does harken back to a mid to early '80s sound. I think of the John Hughes movies and the soundtrack. Some of the more I would say alternative stuff that was happening in the early '80s rock scene before there was such a thing as indie rock, when it was college rock or whatever it was. But heavy on the keyboards to the point where you're like, this is stuff I could hear on Top 40. I mean, there's this combination of do you see it that way? Like, when is that the pop part? I mean, you're constructing songs that are very accessible in the way that you listen to it and you're like, oh, I could hear this right now on the mix or anything like that.
Sure. Well, I think we're all, you know, partially glad in a very specific way, you know, that it comes off to that to anybody. That's kind of the goal, I think.
Guys,
I
like what's your talk about your connection to synth pop. What got you into, because I see all the keyboards in here, so I'm assuming a lot of young piano players. Talk about how you got to this music.
Well, I think mentioning John Hughes is the right thing to do. I feel like my way into this music is like the other media associated with it. You know, I was born in the '90s, so it's not music of my time. But when it's part of a complete image, then I want to soak in it.
What about you guys?
I'm inspired by Liberace, the piano player, and a lot of what I do is going to harken back to like a Liberace thing, but imagine if all of his clothing and all of his pianos were electrified.
Oof. my relationship to synthesizers, I come from a more of kind of like a jazz piano background. Mm-hmm. But I view Charles as kind of like a synthesizer cult leader. And so what happened
synthesizer
is
Sherpa.
So I met Charles and he told me I should buy a synthesizer, and I drank the Kool-Aid and did it, and then I bought another synthesizer and then another synthesizer.
And Gene is now OT level 7.
Yep.
Well, I mean, there is something. I mean, talk about what is it sound? Why do you like that sound? What is it about the synthesizer over a jazz piano or regular piano in that regard?
I will tell you straight up, I will say it again more emphatically. I hate, and I know there's very little room in this world right now for hate. I hate guitars.
Interesting.
And I have very little patience for guitar-based music. I've had a rough history with guitars. We don't have time to talk about it. But that's where a lot of it stemmed from. It's, you know, I think synthesizers are just such a more, they're a more flexible instrument than the guitar. You know, I know a lot of people would try to argue me about that, but I don't hang out with those people. I don't associate with them because they're bad people.
I was going to say, is Charles' approach to the guitar, is it stifling for you guys? I mean, especially the bass player in the band, that you're like, hey, wait one second.
No, it's not stifling because I think because there's too many synthesizers, so it's not, it's like a non-factor. It's like I'm just like, I think I'm like, what gets the band taken seriously is that there is one non-synthesizer player.
And that's funny because I've always imagined you as the thing that holds us back.
Oh my god!
You had one more. If you had one more synth,
that makes sense.
Right?
That's exactly how I feel. Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, for you guys, the question when I think of synthesizers, I mean, obviously there's a root. There's, we're all rooted in music. Where does it come from? I mean, were you piano players first? I mean, is it the idea that you learn music structure, then you move on to the synth?
I would like to interject that. I don't think any of us care about synth pop. I don't care about it. I know I don't care about it at all.
Yeah, I would absolutely second that. When I said it was about marketing, I'm dead serious. It's all about marketing. We view this as using whatever is in us, and we're just, you know, synths are the conduit right now. Yeah. I don't know. It could be something else.
You mentioned that you started in jazz piano. I mean, how different is the experience of playing synthesizer as opposed to playing piano?
It's very different.
One is spiritual and one's not.
Exactly. Luke does not like jazz or jazz piano.
Love jazz.
There's just kind of a lot more density playing synthesizer, so you kind of have to approach it a little differently for jazz piano. I'm giving a very serious answer.
I like that. That's okay.
Playing jazz piano, you can get play a lot more notes a lot more densely at the same time. I find with synthesizers, it's a lot more timbre-based, and you kind of pick things out very specifically and carefully in order to rip.
You can hear a lot of people with synthesizers. We had a band in here last week that was more in the dream pop or in that area, shoegaze kind of music, but there's always a play with synthesizers to create a wall of sound. You hear this all the time. I mean, there's this sort of like this, that when you think of
thickness,
like a dream pop, you think of that, like this idea that there's a wall and you're cascading. Sure. In your case, when I listen to Iverson, it is much more, in some tracks, some not, but it's much more succinct to the note, meaning it's like your guys are playing, and you'll hear it coming up here, almost the four-chord structure or the three-chord structure, whatever it is, but it's not necessarily, you're not creating a canvas of sound with all the synths. You guys are still almost honoring the idea of what a band sounds like.
Yeah, that's actually a very astute and accurate observation.
Yes.
You did a great job.
It's great.
Very nice.
Yeah, I think the magic of these songs, in a way that contrasts dream pop, is we spend a lot of time working on the very specific parts and how they lock together.
Sure. It is very orchestrated.
Yeah.
It makes me think of kind of the synthesizer music of, not to draw this comparison, but Tears for Fears is very kind of orchestrated. Everything is layered into place as opposed to just one thing or two things making a wall.
Right.
You know? Yeah, well, I think it's a natural inclination for when somebody steps in front of a synthesizer is just blast it. Just dime it out.
Yeah, and this just like kind of press down.
And we love to rip. Not going to argue there. We love to rip. Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? Rip. The band Iverson in studio tonight. We won't call them synth pop, but it's around that area. The band is Charles Iverson, Gene Kniffic, Alec Watson, Ethan, and Luke Parcell. All right, the latest is EP Pink, and we'll talk about the new music's on the way. Let's do this, though. Let's take a break so we can get a sound check on you guys, and then we've got some music to listen to here in Studio 435, the band Iverson.
Oh, yeah.
Stay with us. All right. Studio 435 here on the download, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me tonight, the band Iverson, Chicago's very own. They are ready to perform here on Michigan Avenue. Before we do that, we'll talk a little bit more. We'll set this one up with all the keyboards. We'll do talk for the first part, second half, rock it out.
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
Sure.
All right. In studio, the band just put out this summer an EP called EP Pink, and this is after EP Blue. And we'll talk about what's coming up with the EP on its way soon, coming out sometime later this fall, winter. Charles Iverson, Gene Kniffic, Alec Watson, and Ethan and Luke Parcell in studio tonight as we talk about the music. Is it hard for me as musicians when you don't have guitars? And I know you hate guitars, but this idea of, you know, finding the role and the balance and where you're, how you guys collaborate when there are 3 to 4 synths in the room and a drum and bass. Is it harder to construct a sound when you don't have the instruments we're used to?
Well,
it's a lot of sound to reckon with. Yeah, it's a lot of technology to reckon with.
Yeah,
it's a lot of logistics to deal with.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's easy, but I don't know that I would classify it as difficult either. I think it just takes some sifting.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, there was quite a bit of sifting the first couple months we were playing together, just trying to figure out how the pieces fit together. We worked on like one or two or three songs for a long time, just trying to figure out the balance, and then once that clicked,
sure. Well, and the way that the songs are written and represented in a live setting, I think requires a fair amount of that sifting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But as far as, you know, if it's harder for us because we don't have guitars, I would, you know, say that I would climb Mount Everest if it meant I would never have to see a guitar.
I love it. But I mean, just in building a band where you have three different synthesizers and trying to put together the balance of what the sound's going to be. Who's playing, I guess it would be, in forgive my ignorance, but who's playing rhythm or who's playing lead?
That's the right thing.
But I mean, do you come in already with those predetermined that I'm a rhythm synthesizer player, or you know what I mean?
Swap.
Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, the roles get swapped. And as far as the songs, you know, they usually come in to the whole group, mostly finished by myself. And as far as, you know, the arrangements of the songs are concerned, so saying who plays what part, a lot of times it's all there. And so we learn it, but there's still, you know, well, we have to layer this now.
Right.
We have to swap this. We have to cut this out during this section while this thing happens because that was eating up the space that this thing needs, you know. So there's still going to always be sifting. Guitars definitely lay together much easier, but it's because they're an inferior instrument.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm interested in the recording process as well, because when you're working with the technology that you guys have to put this together, how much of it is cut, paste, edit, move pieces of music each place, you know, layer, as opposed to getting in a room and everyone being like 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Luke and I got to track a lot at once, the two of us in a room, which was great.
This is bass and drums, right?
Bass and drums, the junior members of the band that don't
play
synthesizer.
Parcell Brothers, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was really helpful. Everything else could not only come in piecemeal, but it was also kind of like easier to construct a new detail if a new one needed to enter then. That was like a nice thing about working with this technology. It's a lot to reckon with sometimes, but if there's like one extra thing that needs to happen, we didn't like blow our chance by all being in the same room and then trying to recreate that room.
Right. Well, and that's, yeah, there are a lot of performances that are on the recordings. So, you know, the recordings... Yeah. Of the synthesizer performances of the parts that are full takes, you know, all the way through, because we try to do that as much as possible. I'm not in the business of copying and pasting too much, you know, unless you're dealing with an actual loop that is supposed to be a
looped
part.
Right, right. Or layers in the way that you want to put more on a track than
sure.
Than
so,
was
I mean,
designed.
There's a, you know, there's a you know, fair amount of studio magic and editing, but that's only to stay current. You know, with the things that are being released.
Let me ask about the live performance, because, you know, you've mentioned a couple times now that the technology can be challenging and getting you guys all sort of synced up, no pun intended, but getting you all ready with all the music. When you're playing at a club and you're like, sound checked is at 5, show up with your instruments. I mean, is it more that goes into how you guys sound check and how you get prepared for a gig, especially if that's a stage that you have to share with 3 or 4 bands in a night?
It's always, yeah, it's always a nightmare.
Yeah.
we're used to it. I don't know. I mean, we're always prepared. I can't speak for myself. I won't speak for myself, but it's a group of extremely talented musicians. So there's never any concern that we're not going to play well because of a technological issue.
I feel like we've even had a lot of technical issues through the shows
so
that
many.
We've played.
Yeah.
And it's never been a thing that's been like, that show was ruined because whatever got messed up with a keyboard or computer or something like that. And it's always been a thing where we realize that we can kind of still, I think, construct the music well, kind of even if technology starts to fail. I think we can still pull it off.
Yeah, it's pretty cathartic, joyful music that, like, sometimes just feels kind of insane and bubbly firework feeling to play, even if everything is falling apart.
Absolutely.
Not that everything is falling apart in like one day, but like
there is always an element of danger.
That's accurate.
Yeah. I think there's
to simulate that, we used to do drills in the early days of our rehearsal where we would just have someone go to the basement and just throw off the power switch, yeah. And we would just have to recreate all of the songs with just whatever was around us.
There was a lot of mouth trumpet.
I think there's also at least to my ears and from my perspective, there's something that happens where the recorded music kind of has this constant level of precision that I think we maintain live, but there also becomes this like new aspect of kind of the music being a little extra raw and almost, I think loose in a more like natural human sound going on as we're like letting the music kind of live a little bit outside of the space of like, total digital takeover mode.
Yeah.
I would maybe suggest that a major theme of this band is human versus robot.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, side by side.
Happy Halloween.
And we're rooting for robots, to be clear.
We are, yeah.
How so? How do you explain that,
Charles?
Well, I think I know exactly what Mr. Watson is talking about. Basically, I can't respect a lot of what's happening in the music industry right now as far as production is speaking. And from that,
you're talking about the bands that or the producers that you're hearing a lot in the top 40 music where it's synthesizer music, but it's just overdrive. It's kind of replaced music.
Absolutely, yeah. And I don't mean to sound bitter or jaded because I love and appreciate top 40 pop music. I really, really do. I'm even more talking about on, you know, groups and artists that are on the lower, smaller markets where there's this, you know, very engineered sound. I'll name one that's the perfect example, the Chainsmokers. So I feel like people qualify that as electronic music,
right?
And that's exactly what we're trying to avoid is that there's
it's a hook. It's mostly using electronics for a hook. It's not electronic and music, right?
Yeah, and basically my point in even saying that is with our performances that is what differentiates the experience from anything else. It is electronic inherently.
When you have those kind of bands that are having success and they're charting a new, a consumer is listening, someone who loves music is listening to this going, oh, this is crazy music to listen to. I love electronic music. I love synth pop. Is it actually making it more difficult for bands like you who don't do that to sort of be the standard for that kind of music?
Well, I mean, that's kind of where it does get into territory of, being jaded and complaining about people who worked hard and became successful. You know, I mean, we're trying to do the same thing. So I think, I don't think there's any concern of that, of anybody like ruining the market for, you know, quote unquote, real bands like us, hardworking American bands. I think it's really just, if we have to change and adapt, we will. We're not afraid of that.
All right. Well, I'll be looking for the collaboration with Coldplay.
Oh, can't wait.
Coming
can't
out. Wait. The band Iverson in studio tonight. Absolutely. Their latest EP, Pink, is out. They got a new EP coming out this winter, fall. Charles Iverson, Gene Kniffick, Alec Watson, Ethan, and Luke Parcell. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll take a quick break. We'll get news right now, and then in that news, we'll sound check, and we will get some live music at Studio 435 from Chicago's Iverson. Download here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, the synth pop band Iverson in studio tonight. Their latest EP, Pink, came out this summer, and their next EP is on their way soon. Charles Iverson, Gene Kniffick, Alec Watson, Ethan, and Luke Parcell on the drums and bass. We're going to get to some live music in a second. Bob's working it out. We've got a little technical difficulty, but that sounds like that's part of the course for you guys.
It is.
It absolutely is.
We will have live music coming up here. We'll take a break in a couple minutes here and get a sound check, make sure we're ready to rock. We'll get some before the end of the hour. I love the conversation we're having about, not to name bands by name, but it is interesting to watch when bands and producers come up with new sounds. And the sounds make it to the radio and in ways that you're like, wow, that's something I've never heard before. Hmm. And it and you see it happen a little bit in hip-hop a lot. You'll have a rapper who will come on, and the way that they spit or the way that they do things is, oh, wow. But then you recognize that necessarily isn't the best musical approach to that. Or that might be something that, you know, is manufactured, especially in the case of hooks and sounds. But how do you recognize that? I mean, when you say I don't like the way that pop music is using electronic music for its hooks, and it's pretty much every, I can't even name a, I'm not going out of my way to not name a band. They all do it now. Yeah. How do you recognize that? And what's that? How do you make the distinction between authentic and manufactured?
It's a very slippery slope into trying to be an authority over something that I can't really be an authority over, because at the end of the day, it is still subjective. But you know,
I do think that the approach for us a little bit, and maybe Charles writing so much of the music, maybe you disagree with this, but I feel like so much of the approach is kind of inevitably being aware of what you're talking about, but kind of coming from the angle of trying to disregard the status quo and more let whatever is kind of naturally there to as music to be made between us as a group, to kind of let that happen and let all this faulty gear that we have be like what we're using to make it. I think it feels to me much more like that than being like, these things aren't cool in music right now, and we're going to go, you know, against the grain and try to do things a different way.
So the organic process and using the instruments that you own and being able to approach it almost from a band standpoint as opposed to sitting in a studio making money.
I mean, when I write the music, and you know, I'm the one that ends up having to, you know, engineer and mix and master and graphic design, and you know, most of the process as far as that's concerned, it ends up, you know, for me, it's not about what I like and what I don't like. It, you know, when it comes down to it, I'm just making music that I want to hear.
Yeah.
And I'm writing it with these four people in mind, and with our very, very limited gear selection that we have to use, and that's, I think, why we need to depend on the flexibility of the synthesizer so much, because it allows us more options.
Well, I'm intrigued by where a band like Iverson fits in the Chicago landscape. I mean, do you play with rock bands? I mean, is it sort of you play, there's, here comes an indie rock band with a drum and guitar and all that, and then they're like, all right, now it's time for Iverson. I mean, is that where you guys find yourself? Or is there an actual movement in Chicago where there is more synthesizer music that play together? And
As far as I know, there is not a movement.
We're not a part of the movement if there is one.
Yeah, we're making our own at some point, so hopefully we'll catch some.
We definitely play with rock bands.
We do.
And it's cool. I think there's also a thing that we play more, maybe more generally speaking, I feel like we play with within some sort of, this is like a, I think, a faux pas word to use, but some sort of small scene that has a lot of genuine creativity in it that often isn't necessarily aesthetically or timbrally similar to us, but we can kind of appreciate what other people are doing as they appreciate what we're doing, kind of team up more in that vein than like sounding a lot like the bands we play with, I think, often.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you guys find yourself collaborating with other musicians? I mean, they're, especially when you're in a position where you guys can create such interesting, unique sounds. Do you find yourself at all in your career collaborating with musicians who don't necessarily find themselves to be a synth pop band?
You know, we'd like to. We haven't really had that exact opportunity at this point, and almost entirely because of, you know, for financial and time related reasons, a lot of this music is created in a very isolated setting, you know, with me by myself, and you know, I'll show up and everyone else kind of, their reaction is, oh wow, we have a whole record, and you know, and then I'm like, yeah, come play on it, you know. So I don't know that really any real collaboration with anyone outside of our very small Iverson circle has quite happened yet, but we'd like it to happen.
All right, the band Iverson in studio, Charles Iverson, Gene Kniffick, Alec Watson, Ethan, and Luke Parcell. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will hear some live music. We're going to get to the sound check, and we will hear a couple songs before we wrap up tonight. The band Iverson in Studio 435. Stay with us. All right, hold on there. There we go. This is the download. 720 WGN, Studio 435 tonight. The synth pop sounds of Chicago's Iverson. They put out their latest EP, Pink, which you can find online. Of course, came out this summer. Next EP's on the way soon. They haven't revealed the color yet. They did EP Blue, EP Pink, and maybe they'll give us a hint towards the end of the interview. Charles Iverson, Gene Kniffick, Alec Watson, Ethan Parcell, and Luke Parcell, the band Iverson. Here is a track live in Studio 435, POHT. Take it away, guys.
Before Halloween, and all through the station, the band Iverson was ready to spook the whole nation. The Casios were set on their stands with care. The drum computer was also set on its stand with care. And young Charles began to make a face like a spider, while Gene sipped a goblet of cemetery cider. Alec put on his Frankenstein's hat, and the brothers Parcell flapped their wings like a bat. The band was ready, it was time to R.I.P. The ghosts were excited, and the witches did a Y.I.P. Now we say to you, friends, as we lower the light, Happy Ween's Eve to all, and to all a good night. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, in studio tonight. There you go, a little POHT Halloween version from the band Iverson. The Halloween version. Awesome. The band Charles Iverson, Gene Kniffick, Alec Watson, Ethan, and Luke Parcell. They are in studio tonight, Studio 435. Their latest EP, Pink, is out. New one on the way soon. You guys, since we got you here and we took this time to set up all the synthesizers, let's get right back into another track, shall we? What are you guys going to play here?
I think we're going to play a little song that is going to be called Fate. And this is the exact opposite of what you just heard. It's a ballad.
A ballad. Yeah. Fate. The band Iverson is themselves in position. I love it. So many synthesizers. You can't go wrong with so many. The band Iverson. Again, Charles Iverson, Gene Kniffick, Alec Watson, Ethan, and Luke Parcell. This is the track Fate. They're working it out here. There we go. There's the headphones. We got it. All right. Take it away, guys.
Wanted to be clear, I wanted to be special, I wanted like my dreams, I feel light and empty, all my soul. I see them far below, I dance above the faces of those I loved and lost. I want to be never seen
go. A ballad, Fate, in studio. The band Iverson, Chicago's band. EP Pink is out. They got a new one coming up this fall, winter. What we'll do is we'll take a quick break here, and then we'll wrap up the show afterwards and give Iverson a chance to play us out here on the Download 720 WGN. Stay with us. That's going to do it for the Download tonight. Coming up, Patty Vasquez. Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. The band Iverson in studio. Look for their new EP coming out sometime this fall, winter. Their EP, Pink, is out now. You can find it in Bandcamp and other places. The band Iverson, synth pop in studio. We're going to let them play us out tonight. What's the last track? The last track's called Tell Me. If you guys are ready, take it away. We'll be right back. Band Iverson in Studio 435 tonight. Charles Iverson, Gene Kniffic, Alec Watson, Ethan Parcell, and Luke Parcell. The latest EP, Pink, is out. New one coming out this fall, winter. Guys, can't thank you enough for being here. Thanks for playing.
Thank you so much.